So we are with G Stevens. So now you're launching your fourth album.
Yeah, that's right. Climate Controlled is coming out September 1st. That's this Thursday. We're having a show kind of in my hood in NDG at Cafe Sheka, which is right there on Sherbrooke across from Girard Park. It's going to be fun.
Can you explain to us how you came to music and how you came to politics? Because for you, it's a bit working together.
Yeah, it's sort of a combo. I think I used to write a lot, and then I realized I wanted to get into music, so started playing guitar to have something to put lyrics to, and it was always sort of trying to be conscious, or at least conscientious of myself, and then it's expanded out from there. Now I have a lot of concerns for global politics, and sort of this record, Climate Controlled, is sort of focused around climate crisis and sort of the blues of that feeling. I don't know.
What do people can find on your album?
What can they find?
Yeah.
Well, they can find songs. There's one song that's sort of based around global governance called Stately Dissonance, and it's sort of about the criminalization of dissent and the top-down decision-making that we're seeing going on when we see groups like the G8 and the G20 get together and implement decisions made by groups like the IMF and the World Bank. That song focuses directly on that, and it's dedicated to two people who have been killed trying to resist both the G8 and the G20. There's a video for that on YouTube that I put together. It sort of showcases the idea of why we shouldn't have rich men in suits making decisions on behalf of most of the world impoverished people, you know?
Heads of state go marching in, when the heads of state go marching in, the town will be on lockdown, when the heads of states go marching in. There's the G20 and the G8, their private meetings, no debate. They discuss the concerns of the ruling class while democracy's at the gate. When the heads of state go marching in, when the heads of states go marching in, they shot someone dead in Genoa and killed again in London town.
Was listening to Stately Dissonance by G Stevens. So G, can you explain where it came from, this song?
That song sort of came on Tales of Inspiration from what we saw here in Canada last year, and through other music that I've seen other artists really using the voice that they have to to speak out against the injustices that are happening.
Beyond the Stately Dissonance, what we can find on this album?
That one, obviously, as you hear, is sort of based off a gospel song, Oh, When the Saints Go Marching In, from I think it was from the early 1900s, in the teens, perhaps. Which also, when I looked at the content of that song, it's sort of about the power struggle and that you want to watch out when the saints go marching in. So it's sort of the same idea. And another one that's sort of a throwback is a spin on a Gershwin song, and it's called Wintertime Too. And that one's about the climate crisis that we're facing and that we all seem to be ignoring, even though we see it sort of in our faces as we're having, you know, random earthquakes where we normally don't, and, you know, hurricanes that threaten entire nations and all these sort of problems. So that song's sort of about preparing for that and maybe perhaps stopping the use of crisis by large governments, stopping them from spinning that into their benefit and further dominating the people. And the people should be ready for those sort of crisis and be ready for wintertime too, sort of metaphorically.
Maybe we can continue about the other songs.
Some of them are actually older songs. One called Caterpillars is probably one of the first songs I ever wrote years back, maybe 10 years ago. And I've been sort of rolling it around for quite a while. That's sort of just about a connection with people and realizing, like, you know, it's worth being open, but realizing that either way, we'll just move on and we should know. There's a song called Voted, which is about, I wrote during the election times, which were really a sort of an angering and depressing time for me, because I don't think that sort of what we know as democratic representation is working. And I saw a lot of, well, maybe not a lot, but some radicals that are close to me would, you know, talk about perhaps they'll vote and perhaps they'll, you know, just to spoil their vote, or maybe the NDP will do something and that sort of crap. And so it's sort of a song about that. It's called Voted, and it's basically a spit in the eye of that sort of thought. I think anybody who decides that they're going to try and change things by voting, putting their one vote into parliament is going to change things. I think that's sort of a false idea, and we need to get away from that.
Well, maybe it can be an interesting question. What is the NDP for you?
It seems to be the sort of thing where they make it seem like they're doing really great things. It's all sort of green grass and rainbows. But in reality, what they're doing by even showing up to parliament and not saying, you know, damn you, whoever's actually in charge, let's not do this, you know, let's not wage war, let's not commit ecocide, let's not rip up the last of the resources that are left that belong to people who were here much longer before all of this sort of European governance. It's sort of the NDP represents that sort of being co-opting all sorts of social movements. It started as a fairly radical farmers group in the West a long time ago as the CFF, and it's come a long way from that. Certainly that coalition did great things, but now it's become you know, just a bunch of social democrats who are just sort of looking for a long-time paycheck.
On that sense, how did you pursue the state funerals for Jack Layton?
Well, they were something. I like to just try and kind of keep my head in the world, the sort of the SoundCloud of news. And last week was not a good time for a lot of people that wanted to understand the conflict going on in Syria, or understand what sort of impact we're having in Libya, and really hear about more about what's going on in Britain and the unrest, and really how poorly those people are being treated. You know, one woman got, I think it was like 16 months in prison for stealing £625 worth of clothing. You know, it was sort of opportunistic for her. £625, it would be equal to here, you know, basically 2 weeks' paycheck. I don't think someone deserves to have more than a year of their life ruined because of that. So those sort of things were swept aside. Let's not talk about the real injustices in the world. Let's talk about some fat cat who's been in politics his entire life. So basically an employee of the state. And let's big them up. Let's spend, who knows, perhaps near $1 million on a funeral for another politician who is just keeping us oppressed, keeping us down. And I wrote an article about it, actually, on the Montreal Media Co-op, comparing it to how tragic it is when we have, in a town like this, you know, Layton's a Montreal guy, so are many people who have been killed by the state right here in our own city. Someone like Mario Hamill, I sort of juxtapose, what's the difference between a man who, you know, was killed by the state versus a man who was employed by the state? What sort of funerals did they get, and what sort of notice are they going to see? Certainly, when Mario Hamill was shot by the SPVN, they didn't spend a week talking about it on the news, and for sure, nobody paid for his funeral but his family and friends. And then on the other side, you have Jack Layton, who is a part of the oppression regime. Whether he's claimed to be, oh, I'm a social democrat and I'm on the other side, you're not getting it done, so you're just a part and parcel to the problem. Why he needed what speculated to be $500,000 funeral is beyond me, and even the Canadian Taxpayer Watchdog Group is refusing to comment on it, which I think is concerning.
Maybe we can listen to Vote and come back after.
Sure, we'll listen to Voted.
And then you say that you're free.
You
vote it. Hooray for democracy.
You vote it.
Yeah, your words were shit.
You vote it.
You know what I think about it. It's a fucking disgrace how you try to save face. You've empowered the masters who bring us disaster.
You vote it.
The joker box for status quo.
You vote it.
A history we'll always know.
You vote it.
Just to protect yourself.
Yeah, you voted.
You voted for disparity of wealth. If you cross the line, you've been called a scab. Maybe you've been lying. Lucky if you get stabbed. I will not say a prayer when I die. You can consider a vote. My spit in your eye. My spit in your eye. My spit in your eye.
So we was talking about Voted and spitting in the face of people.
Well, no, that was just sort of just metaphorical. That I find a lot of people who are, you know, if you want to have a one-to-one, and then they say, well, you know, well, why don't you vote? Or maybe if you feel this way, why don't you run for office? And I think it's an entirely corrupt system that once you dip your toe in that pool, you're sort of infected with this idea. Once you're encouraging one person to represent 40,000 others, like it is in my riding, I just don't see how that's going to result in any true consensus sort of ideas of what we need in our communities, because it's all sort of being dealt with in Ottawa, where none of us are, and there's a lot of money and influence rather than thinking about what's right for the people and what's right for future generations. You know.
But how will come the change?
Well, a lot of people are talking revolution, you know. I guess musicians have been trying to push that for a long time, but at this point it seems the change is going to have to come from bottom up. It's certainly not going to be someone in power already saying, oh, well, we're going to change this. It's not going to be a socialist dictator like Chavez saying, oh, we're changing it because I'm of these people. It's not that. It's the people on the bottom are going to have to revolt and stand up for what they're going to need and for what is right. And we're seeing that being suppressed. We've seen it more recently being suppressed on the native populations because they're seen as a threat by the Canadian government. And that's something to look at. And if we could all just talk about it rather than just turning off our minds and just going with the status quo, there's a real need for a break with the current going-ons.